Testing, 10987654321. This is machine number 14, 4040, with microphone number 2323.
Yevhedi Menuhin, can I ask you, first of all, you wanted straight from the start George Ionescu to be your teacher, and
yes.
I can't quite understand why.
Simply because I was fascinated by his personality, absolutely bewitched by the music he made, the way he played the violin, the way he conducted, the way he appeared, his leonine carriage. When I first heard him and saw him in San Francisco as a boy of perhaps 6 or 7, and then again a year or two later on a subsequent tour of his, and finally I achieved my ideal when my parents and sisters, the whole family, came back to Paris in 27. I was 11 then. And we attended a concert of Ionescu's. I went backstage afterwards and announced that I wanted him to be my teacher.
And he was somewhat reluctant, I think, to take you on.
Well, he naturally didn't know me from Adam. But I pleaded and begged, and he said that he was off on tour the next day. I said, "What time?" He said, "I think very early in the morning." So I finally said I'd come at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I played for him, he did agree. And since then, of course, he's remained what he always had been for me. He never let himself down. What he appeared to me to be as a child of 6, he remains now and has always been.
But it's very odd that a childhood feeling should be carried on until you were what age in 1926?
11. I was 11 in 27. And then remained, studied with him, excepting for 2 years when I was with Adolf Busch, upon Ionescu's recommendation, until the war, until 37.
Well, first of all, what sort of teacher was he?
An inspiring teacher, quite, beyond any description. He was music. When he played, when he touched the piano, when he gave a background whistle or snort or grunt, is trying to illustrate the orchestration. It was part of the music, it enhanced the music. And the number of times I've played all the sonatas with Ionescu at the piano, or the orchestral works, the concerti with Ionescu accompanying at the piano, and filling in all the voices, he could whistle and he could sing. It was as alive or more so than I've ever known with an orchestra.
So not really a formal lesson as such?
No, he wasn't very formal. Music for him wasn't a rigid study, nor did he concentrate on technique, really. It all had to happen because one was on the living wave.
What do you think you have inherited from Ionescu? I mean, what did you, in fact, get from him?
I think a certain size, stylistically, a feeling, naturally, for the... He knew music from A to Z, whether it was Bartok or Bach or the gypsy music. He commanded all styles, so I don't say that I'm anywhere near the size of Ionescu. I don't compose, I don't play the piano. But something, perhaps, in my interpretations, in their intensity, perhaps, in their... I don't really know. It would be difficult for me to say. But there's no doubt that Ionescu has left a tremendous imprint on me.
As a composer, how do you rate him internationally now?
I think a great composer. A composer whose music is not nearly as well known as it should be. In fact, I've had some meetings with Covent Garden and with the French opera to encourage them to put on his very greatest work, Oedipe, the opera. It had already been performed at the Opéra in Paris in 1938, and in Brussels as well, and of course in Romania, but it has never been performed in London. I think it should be revived for Paris and performed here.
Are you hopeful that it will?
I am hopeful. I don't say it will happen within a year, but it will happen, I hope, within the foreseeable future.
How do you think Ionescu, though, rates internationally as a composer, a Romanian national composer, after all?
He is known mainly for the works of his teens. When he was a teenager, he wrote these two smashing Romanian rhapsodies, which are the works played all over the world, rousing audiences to great enthusiasm and demanding the utmost of the orchestras. conductors revel in it. And there Enescu more or less gave them away to the publishers in Paris, I forget which they were, and never received a penny royalty on these works. Of course, he himself quite rightly considers them elementary works of his youth, pastiche on the gypsy idiom. And his great works are the symphonies, the songs, the sonatas, the opera.
Do you have a favorite yourself?
I love the sonatas for piano and violin. Of course, I've played a great deal the one in the Romanian popular style with my sister. And I have conducted some of his orchestral works. And I have, of course, heard the opera several times.
But what was he like to play with as a conductor?
Wonderful. I always felt when Enescu was on the stage conducting that nothing could possibly go wrong. He had everything in the palm of his hand. He knew what one was about. He could accompany better than almost any conductor I've ever met. And he supported, he gave one confidence and flight. He gave one wings and feet. He was extraordinary.
What do you feel about Romanian music now? I mean, since all that has happened over the past 30, 40 years, can you make a judgment about Romanian music now?
I cannot. I don't know it well enough. I haven't followed the younger composers, and I'm really incapable of giving you an informed opinion on that score.
But Enescu is still popular in Romania.
Oh, Enescu is the god in Romania. It is extraordinary that these two adjacent countries, Romania and Hungary, should have as their greatest heroes, not generals, not idols of the cinema or the popular, whatever it may be, but great musicians. And, of course, it's Bartok and Kodály in Hungary, and it's Enescu in Romania. Quite extraordinary.
Why do you think that Romania should have thrown up a character like Enescu?
I think these countries, the Balkan countries, have music so deeply rooted in their souls, in their tradition, in their history. They also have the greatest diversity of musical traditions. Every valley, every river, every forest has its own sounds. And the variety is unbelievable. I heard a few samples of these when I was last in Bucharest, and it is quite overwhelming. And it was natural that as soon as the bridge was made to the West, with its formal musical disciplines in Vienna, of course, which is another meeting place of cultural strands, East and West, North and South, Italian, Baltic, and so on, it was natural that the proximity of these varied cultures within or adjacent to the Austro-Hungarian Empire would produce an extraordinary flowering musically. You see it also in the Czechs with their fantastic music, which has its roots in the folk music and its flowers in the most wonderful operas and symphonies. And you see it, the Hungarians, Romanians, Poles. It's an incredible musical part of the world where Asia meets Europe and where the wild meets the tamed and cultivated.
Finally, you've had a new link with Romania in a way, with the concert, the proceeds of which are going to the the Romanian Earthquake Fund.
We were all appalled at this dreadful disaster, and as soon as my colleagues and I heard of it, I think many of them have offered to give help. And my sister and I donated our fee for one of my concerts with orchestra in London, and we sent a check of £1,550 to the Romanian embassy here in London for the relief of musicians and people of the stage. And I've had a response just received today, curiously, from the chargé d'affaires of the embassy, Dr. Nicu Bujor, and the check was made out to the Romanian embassy for the earthquake disaster fund. It was sent to the cultural attaché, Mr. Silinescu, and I'm very, very eager for everybody, all my colleagues, to contribute whatever they can to the relief of these musicians and the musical life in Romania.
Can I ask you finally what your perhaps most pleasant memory of George Enescu is or was?
Well, certainly the concerts we had together, the recordings we had together, but perhaps It was Ionescu in his own home in Sinaia, where he seemed at one with those towering mountain ranges, especially that autumn when the forests took on the wild colors that those deciduous forests do. And when I heard the gypsies and then met Ionescu, not that he himself was a gypsy at all, but I felt him in his own background, rooted in his soil. He adored his country, and of course Sinaia was a dream in those days. It was haunted and visited by real people who played and who had flocks of sheep and knew how to play the flute and the violin. Nothing was limited to the stage or the room. It was all out in the open. Everything happened just as the trees happened and the lightning struck. So did music happen in Sinaia in those days.
It's a perfectly natural thing.
Yes, perfectly natural.
Thank you very much indeed, Yehudi Menuhin.
Thank you.